News now.
Welcome to Ask the Chief Information Officer, brought to you by Vion Corporation on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Every week, Federal News Radio interviews CIOs of federal agencies about the latest directives, IT challenges, and successes. Ask the CIO with your host, Jason Miller.
And our special guest today is Adrian Gardner, the NASA Goddard Chief Information Officer and Director for IT and Communications Directorate. Adrian, thank you so much for taking the time to join us.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
So we had you on before when you were the National Weather Service Chief Information Officer. Now you moved over to Goddard, about 10 months ago. I can't believe it's been that long. I was looking back, doing some research, going, oh my, it's been 10 months. So how's it going so far? How are you enjoying the switch?
I am enjoying it. It is a great opportunity to join the agency at this time, you know, as we're going through a number of changes, and Goddard is at the center of many of those. So I'm really enjoying the opportunity.
And it's a pretty big switch, I mean, in some ways, because you're going from a weather service, which dealt with obviously weather-related things, to NASA Goddard, which deals with a whole separate set of goals and mission. Is there similarities? Are there differences? Talk a little bit about how the mission from one agency to the other has changed for you.
My, you know, time at Weather Service was complementary to the role that Goddard plays, because Goddard is basically one of the satellite providers to NOAA. And there is a good synergy between what I was doing operationally at the Weather Service and understanding kind of the products and services that came from the number of the geospatial satellite and that kind of thing, the environmental satellites. And now here at NASA, I get the opportunity to sit on the service provider side, where we actually build those capabilities and then transfer them to the National Weather Service and NOAA for improving their capacity to predict weather. And so there is a huge similarity. And we also have a supercomputer here that looks at some of the environmental and weather modeling that is complementary to what NOAA does from a research and R&D perspective. And then we also have a lot of opportunities for just pure collaboration between the two organizations, because we are so closely tied.
It's interesting because, well, I've done interviews before with Linda Cureton, who's now the NASA CIO, and I always ask the question when I talk to a CIO for the first time, what does your agency do, or how's your, you know, what about your agency that maybe nobody knows about from in terms of a mission? Were you surprised about anything that NASA Goddard did when you came over, or did you feel like you were walking in with a pretty good idea of all the mission areas that Goddard specifically focuses on?
There are a lot of similarities between Goddard and Weather Service, and the transition was somewhat transparent and open and well understood, but I guess once I arrived here, the understanding of the scope and breadth of the center and its various capabilities from the standpoint of the offsite facilities that it actually has as well, and the role that a lot of those facilities are playing in the overall transition of the agency. So if you look at Wallops Flight Facility, there's a number of opportunities going on there where we're building a lot of construction to look at the next 10 to 12 years of as far as how Goddard will support the NASA mission. So there are a number of things going on that I didn't necessarily expect to get involved in that I have been. I guess the other thing is really becoming more engaged in the actual projects and missions on center. That's been a great opportunity. I really like the way the leadership on center engages all the leadership across the center in the project management and program management process. And so I really like the instant, almost, opportunity to contribute at Goddard. And so that was refreshing and a great opportunity for me.
And I know NASA does some very, very cool stuff. I remember talking to a couple of CIOs at Ames, for instance, and when you ask them, okay, what do you like about your job? And you know, the first thing they'll tell you is the shuttle takeoff and landing are the best things. But then they talk about the projects as well. Are there any specific projects you can talk about that you've been involved in that you kind of looked at yourself or scratched your head and said, wow, that is pretty cool?
I would say the James Webb Space Telescope, which is going to be the next version of the Hubble Telescope, is one of the great things that we're doing. I also like the innovative activities that are going on with a number of our scientists and engineers in the other directorates. One of the other things that really is kind of earth-shattering is the amount of outreach that we do with the community, both from a standpoint of logically, in other words, through websites and blogs and RSS feeds, and to just, you know, basic, how do we engage the public with bringing them on center and teaching them about the things that we do. And that ranges all the way from, you know, elementary school all the way up to college kids. I mean, one of the eye-opening things for me was we hosted about 450 or so college students this summer, which was a great opportunity to kind of interface with, you know, the next generation of scientists and engineers that are going to contribute to our mission. So I just think the outreach, the opportunity to participate in the project management, program management activities on center, and then just sheerly just what the center does from the standpoint of the number of scientists and engineers that contribute to the projects and the flight projects that we have going on center.
You brought up that magic word blog. Now, Linda Cureton was a big blogger, is a big blogger. Are you going to blog?
I am. I actually have already put out a couple of internal blogs that are just internal to NASA, so I have already started that. I've been doing it for about a month and a half. And what I've been doing is largely focusing them on kind of the IT strategic goals and the enterprise architecture view that I have going forward, and trying to get use the blog as an opportunity to get you know, some unfettered feedback from a number of the constituencies around NASA. So it's really been a great opportunity. So I definitely plan to continue that theme. I think it's, you know, well worth the price of admission, and it's a great opportunity to kind of get feedback, direct feedback from your users and your colleagues and my colleagues in general.
In many ways, it's replaced that old standard, here's an agency-wide newsletter, now here's the CIO's little corner where you write, you know, 100 words or 500 words about something. The blog lets you kind of do it almost stream of thought, and hey, I got something to say today. I don't have anything to say for a couple of days. Oh, 3 or 4 days in a row, I have something to say. Are you using it in that sense? Obviously, as you said, to communicate about EA and IT strategic goals, but is it more, is that the way you think of it?
Yeah, I do, because my opportunity is really trying to get the stream of consciousness, as you're saying, out there in the open, so that, you know, you can get real feedback and timely feedback. And so I think, you know, a lot of times if you look at newsletters and things like that, they're kind of one way, and there's no way to get the feedback back to the person who really is looking for it in a timely way. And this way I've been able to kind of throw, and so when I'm talking about strategic goals, and I'm actually talking about what is the vision for IT on center, and asking people to contribute through the, you know, using the blog to give me feedback on, am I getting it right, or how do I calibrate it so that I do get it right? And so there is a great opportunity out there. So I really look at it as a real-time opportunity that hasn't been necessarily used probably in the past to kind of look at how you actually frame your thinking about strategy and policy. But I really like to take the opportunity to collaborate and kind of almost crowdsource some of the streams of consciousness and thoughts that I'm having as far as where we'll head in the next 3, 5, 7 years.
So you say feedback to make sure you're getting it right, or calibrate how close you're getting it right. So are you getting it right?
I mean, I think I am. For right now, it's, you know, it's still early on. I think what I've been trying to do since I've been here is build relationships with the other directorates on center, recognizing that my organization is an enabler, and we're a service provider, and we're support to the mission. We do have some direct mission responsibilities, so we basically have responsibility for mission comm, mission communications for a lot of the NASA projects, to include the Space Shuttle, International Space Station, et cetera. And so there is a strong mission tie there, but I have to realize that that's an enabling capability for the center. And so recognizing that it was my goal to kind of, one, focus on more of the customer relationship management part of our work, and then also building those trust relationships across the board at the kind of almost at the C level, you know, the corporate level, and then trying to work that down throughout my organization at various levels across center. And so, you know, we realize that as a directorate here and as a CIO for Goddard, I can't come in and mandate and dictate to my customers, but I have to really work in collaboration with them to get that done. And the surprising thing, I think I feel, at least, you know, my gut feel on center, is that folks are receptive to that, and we have had value-added conversations, in my opinion.
All right. I think you gave us a little bit of a sneak peek of some of your priorities, but we're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit about what you're working on. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller, and our special guest today is Adrian Gardner, the NASA Goddard Chief Information Officer and Director for IT and Communications Directorate.
CIOs and IT directors, is your network-attached storage infrastructure out of control? Do you have dozens and dozens of NAS appliances that are difficult to administer? Ask the experts at Vion Corporation how Hitachi's high-performance NAS, powered by BlueArc, can consolidate your NAS infrastructure, reduce your number of NAS appliances, and improve your NAS performance. With a 30-year partnership, Vion and Hitachi Data Systems have been bringing you innovative technologies with quality service. Visit Vion.com to learn more. That's Vion.com. CIOs and IT directors, are you paying for capacity services that you're not using? Take a good look at your capacity services contract, and next time, make sure you're not signing just another lease. Ask the experts. Vion Corporation, you can create a plan so that you only pay for what you use. When your job is on the line with data storage decisions, that's the way to go. With a 30-year partnership, Vion and Hitachi Data Systems have been bringing you innovative technologies with integrity and quality service. Visit Vion.com to learn more. That's Vion.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller, and our special guest today is Adrian Gardner, the NASA Goddard Chief Information Officer and Director for the IT and Communications Directorate. Now, Adrian, before break, we talked a lot about your experience coming over to NASA Goddard from the National Weather Service and how things are similar, how things are a little different. We talked about the fact that you're blogging now internally, though, you know, you could take that externally so some of us could read it.
Yeah.
But the other question, I guess, is what's interesting is you've also worked at the Energy Department in addition to the National Weather Service. How has those two experiences really translated to your experience at Goddard and really helped you be successful over the last 10 months?
I think that's the biggest take home for me is that the experiences that I've had kind of working with the scientific communities, both within NOAA and Weather Service and Commerce and the Department of Energy, and then bringing that forward into the NASA environment. You know, as a scientist, we often want to fight against consolidation and standardization. And so one of the things I've been able to do through the experiences both at Energy, Weather Service, and Commerce, and bringing that into NASA is really understand kind of how to do and how to support scientists from an IT perspective. And so, you know, one of the things that I definitely learned at Energy was the breadth of the different scientists and the needs that they have for compute. And the other thing I learned primarily at Weather Service is really how to support those kinds of folks in a real dynamic environment. And so if you look at Goddard, it's kind of a mix of those two things. It's almost a mix of the energy environment and the Weather Service environment. It can be highly dynamic with some of the mission side, but then it also can be highly kind of research and development, much like energy is. And so, you know, there's a lot of things that I've been able to garner from those experiences to bring forward to NASA. And so I think, you know, I really almost look at myself as being a person who really understands the needs of scientific computing, all the way from high-performance computing all the way back down to the desktop, and trying to pull together what that would actually look like for the various scientific environments. So it's really been a great opportunity to kind of bring those experiences forward to NASA Goddard.
So just to understand the needs of a scientific community, don't you just give them a Macintosh computer and maybe a couple high-performing computers and walk away? Is that all you got to do?
No, I don't think it's that easy. I wish it was. But, you know, I mean, even if you look at computing, I guess, here at Goddard and kind of the vision I have, and we're kind of creeping into that a little bit. But anyway, all the way from looking at the desktop and possibly virtualizing the desktop to then also as far as like a thin client kind of desktop, then almost to a virtualized data center, then looking at cloud and cloud computing, how that plays in, and then looking at high-performance computing and high-end computing from a standpoint of saying that whole range now represents what the scientists probably would need to actually fulfill their daily tasks. And so what we're trying to do as an organization in concert with Ames, looking at both cloud and other desktop kinds of capabilities, is, and also working with Linda and her staff at headquarters, is really trying to understand across the board what are the attributes that make each one of those environments the right environment for that particular task. And so, and then beginning to educate the scientists and engineers and as well as our own staffs about, you know, what kind of things should be run in those various environments and so that in such a way that they would be optimized in those environments. And so we're very much looking at that whole range of compute, drawing a circle around that and saying that then is scientific mission computing for Goddard and potentially for NASA as a construct. So that's one of the things that we're pushing forward with.
You mentioned a lot of those key priorities or a lot of key buzzwords, thin client, virtualized data center, cloud computing. I imagine all those fit into your priorities over the next 6 or 9 9 months. And it sounds like you're kind of running two tracks. You have the NASA Goddard track, but also the enterprise-wide track. So talk about what you're hoping to get done over the next 6 or 9 months.
One of the things that is very drastically different, at least from my understanding, I've only been in here, being here 2 months, you know, as a new person, you always set it up with a caveat. But anyway, is that the reporting relationship to the NASA CIO, Linda Cureton, and how the centers now are kind of rallying behind the overall vision that she set, or investment strategy, and how she's actually strategizing on how IT will support the overall NASA mission. And so one of the things that we're doing as center CIOs and as a CIO community at large is looking at both the enterprise view as well as the center view. And so on center, what I've done is tried to look at both of those environments from the standpoint of the NASA-wide enterprise environment and then my center environment and say there has to be a collaborative relationship between those two environments. And so the first thing that I'm focusing on is coordinated governance, because we do realize that governance has to play largely in how we're going to deliver services both on center and both across the NASA enterprise. And the second thing is kind of multi-mission IT value proposition. So in other words, making sure that the IT that we do project over the next 6 to 3 years, 3 years to 7 years, that there is a value proposition for the investments that we have, and that they are focused on mission support. The third thing is kind of enabling collaboration, openness, and transparency, and that's that, you know, kind of going to some of the blogging and the openness of what the center is doing, and kind of allowing some of the technology, the social networks and social technologies that we have to actually facilitate and support that. So, for example, for a number of the flight projects, we have RSS feeds, we have Facebook pages for those, and the community at large, in other words, the public, can actually get a bird's eye view into kind of what's going on with the projects day to day. The next one is kind of environmental stewardship and sustainment, which is definitely all of us from a standpoint of the CIO community, not only just within NASA, but all across entirety of government, are looking at is how can we deliver IT in a more environmentally friendly way. And so we're looking at opportunities for, you know, maybe moving to a containerized data center architecture. We're looking at opportunities of obviously consolidating our data center footprint, but also doing that in a way that's wise and value added. And then the fifth thing would be managing risk. And this is kind of not only looking at cybersecurity, but managing risk across the board. So risk that would come through security train of stovepipe to also risk that would be managed across the project. And so one of the things that I think we do very well here on center as we look at our mission projects and flight projects is that they manage risk across those projects in a very robust and open and transparent way. And so the discussion of risk is constantly there. One of the goals that I have is actually adopting a number of those practices and moving them into kind of the IT community here on center to ensure that we're also looking at things in the same way, and that we also make sure that security and cybersecurity are front-end discussions when we talk about how we're going to manage the risk for associated projects and our activities. And then the last thing I guess I would say is looking at a high-performing workforce. I don't think we can accomplish the goals that I have or the goal that NASA has without looking at our high-performing workforce. So we've got to think about what are the next set of critical skills that are going to be required to support the innovative things that we want to do in the future. And then mentioning innovation, if you look at innovation, in my mind, it bridges across all six of these potential strategic goals that I have. So you could have, you know, innovation and a coordinated governance all the way down to the high-performing workforce. And so a lot of times we think about innovation in terms of technology, but also innovation can occur through, you know, just how do we improve business processes, re-engineer business processes, think about business processes in a different way, or even benchmark business processes that weren't necessarily IT, but actually can support and add value to the way that we deliver IT services.
All right, you got a lot on your plate. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll delve into some of these priorities, some strategic goals. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller, and our special guest today is Adrian Gardner, the NASA Goddard Chief Information Officer and Director for IT and Communications Directorate.
CIOs and IT directors, are you paying for capacity services that you're not using? Take a good look at your capacity services contract, and next time, make sure you're not signing just another lease. Ask the experts. Vion Corporation. You can create a plan so that you only pay for what you use. When your job is on the line with data storage decisions, that's the way to go. With a 30-year partnership, Vion and Hitachi Data Systems have been bringing you innovative technologies with integrity and quality service. Visit Vion.com to learn more. That's Vion.com. CIOs and IT directors, is your network-attached storage infrastructure out of control? Do you have dozens and dozens of NAS appliances that are difficult to administer? Ask the experts at Vion Corporation how Hitachi's high-performance NAS, powered by BlueArc, can consolidate your NAS infrastructure, reduce your number of NAS appliances, and improve your NAS performance. With a 30-year partnership, Vion and Hitachi Data Systems have been bringing you innovative technologies with quality service. Visit Vion.com to learn more. That's Vion.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller, and our special guest today is Adrian Gardner, the NASA Goddard Chief Information Officer and Director for the IT and Communications Directorate. Now, Adrian, before break, you went through a bunch of your strategic priorities. Two of them I want to go back and touch upon. Number one, risk management, managing risk through not just cyber, but across the board for all IT projects. That is something that we hear time and again throughout the government. Got to manage the risk. Got to do a better job of managing risk. Now, you're talking about this in a much wider view than just cyber, as you said. Talk about how you're going to go about that. How far into the process are you? There's a lot of different methodologies around managing risk. Are you adopting one? Give us some insight.
There is a lot going on from a standpoint of how NASA in general manages risk. You know, one of the things that I learned here and that I was pleasantly surprised by was that the ability of the flight projects to constantly manage the risk of their projects that they have the responsibility and accountability for. And that goes beyond just security. It also goes to scope, cut, schedule, and cost. And so that's a discussion that we constantly have almost on a weekly basis as a leadership core about some of the projects that we manage and that kind of thing. And so what I wanted to do was actually adopt that, benchmark that, and bring that into the IT community across the center. And so we're not only talking about mitigation of security risk, but also looking at cost, time, scope, relevance of the project management to the overall mission of the center. Is it culturally ready for center adoption, those kinds of things. And so there's a great opportunity here in my mind for my directorate in particular and then the IT community across the center to make strides in that regard. And so one of the things that we're doing is, as I said, kind of building on one of the processes that's already at play within the center. And so the NASA has a long history of really doing project and program management very well. And so, you know, I don't think, in my opinion, that, you know, in my brief months here that the IT community is thought of in the same way. And so one of the things that we're working towards is trying to adopt some of the things that are already known to the community that already have been proven to say, hey, these are good business practices, and then now start to apply those to IT. So there'll be a little bit of crawling before we run. We're just kind of embarking on that. And so, you know, I'll really have to kind of give you a snapshot of where we are in about a year or two, but I am very optimistic about the opportunities that exist here because, again, it's just leveraging something that's already at work and at play with on center. And so a lot of times coming in as a new CIO, you think I've got to do some new things. One of the things I've tried to do is think about what are the old things that are truly working on center and how can we leverage those to improve the way that we deliver services and products.
It sounds to me like there's maybe a pilot coming up on how you can apply that risk management approach to some of your IT, but maybe it's too early to talk about.
What I'm doing is I'm actually starting out with the things that I directly manage first. And so those are things like the center network environment. I'm looking at, there's a couple of major projects we're running for the agency. And so we're starting to apply those to those things that are core to 700's mission. But we're also having a dialogue across center about how do we manage those IT projects that I don't necessarily directly control, but I can influence. And so we're working through that across the board. So there's a great opportunity. So I would say if you come back in a year or two, you know, we would be able to have more than pilots that we have running. We would actually be able to demonstrate how this new approach is now improving our ability to deliver services and projects.
All right. Well, I will make myself a note to have you back on the show in about a year to get you to talk more about that. The other thing you brought up that was really interesting was the idea of governance. Now, you hear a lot about governance, and NASA is one of those agencies that is big, you know, broad. You guys go across the country.
Right.
How does governance work? How are you using either the center governance around IT, or how are you kind of applying enterprise-wide governance in the center? Talk a little bit about what your thoughts are on that.
So if you look at Goddard's role, so we have an CIO's role on Goddard. So I have both a center responsibility as well as a NASA-wide responsibility. So there are some services and products that I provide as a center, that we provide as a center directly to NASA that service the enterprise. One of those would be the mission network, and we share that with that responsibility with headquarters, as well as Marshall Space Flight Center and then Ames Research Center. So that is a shared responsibility to deliver communication services. Our portion of that is for delivering the mission communications for the agency. And that's headed up by Betsy Edwards, who's the project executive up at headquarters, who's doing a great job. And so one of the things that is paramount to my seat is then creating a good balance between what we have to do governance-wise at the enterprise level and what we have to do governance-wise on center. On center, we have, what would be an equivalent to almost like a CIO council with representatives from across the other directorates on center, in other words, all of my customers. And a lot of times we've had a pure discussion about what is my particular directorate doing on center from a governance standpoint. But what we're trying to do is broaden that discussion to say the governance of IT needs to be across the board, across all of the center's IT assets, and how do we manage and promote those. And so one of the things that is kind of key would be recognizing that this has to be collaborative. It has to be a model that is obviously not centralized, it's decentralized. And so one of the things we have to do is be able to build trust between our organizations, both at the center level and at the headquarters level. And so you have Linda Turton, who's really pushing forward with looking at IT governance across NASA, and then each center CIO is working the governance piece on center. And so it's very much something that we've got to, I think, in my opinion, make strides forward on in order to meet Goddard and NASA's.
What should vendors know about working with your office?
I actually prefer to have the contact directly. So although, you know, it's hard for my admin staff here to kind of schedule those, but a lot of the things I like to get out and either dialogue with a number of the vendors through ELC or the Management of Change Conference. And so I think a lot of the direct communication is great. I'm also trying to bring on a couple of key positions that, you know, I will begin to also push some of the vendors in those directions. So I'm actually hiring for a person that's going to actually be the lead for innovation within my office. And then I'm also looking at a person who's going to look at service quality and communications across my organization. From a vendor standpoint, if you're looking at some of the emerging technologies, cloud, looking to get the exascale kind of computing, looking at any of the cutting-edge social networking technologies that you think will be game-changing, you know, I will begin to focus them on kind of my emerging technologies lead and innovation lead. For those things that are more about service quality, so around some of the contracts and I3P, the guest contract, which is our Goddard contract, and other contracts that are kind of looking at overall service quality and kind of where are the gaps on Goddard, I'm really going to begin to focus those on that service quality manager and service quality executive.
All right, very nice. Couple of new hires coming in, so don't blame me if your inbox is now flooded with resumes. You know there's a lot of people out of work, Adrian, so you may get a lot of people there interested in those positions. And a lot of people think working at NASA Goddard, which I couldn't agree more, it would be a wonderful experience. So, unfortunately, we are out of time, but this has been a fascinating conversation. I really appreciate it. I've learned a lot. You've been listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller, and our special guest today was Adrian Gardner, the NASA Goddard Chief Information Officer and Director for the IT and Communications Directorate. Adrian, it's always a pleasure to have you on the show. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Ask the Chief Information Officer, brought to you by Vion Corporation on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear it in its entirety on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Ask the CIO Thursday mornings at 10:30, only on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, WFED, your source for federal news now.